Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I, and this show is for you.
Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile.
And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
All the little mice rehearse separately from the soldiers, and then they come together and rehearse toward the end, and all of the different elements of the party scene come together, and some of the rehearsals have up to 50 people in it by the end.
Glistening snowflakes swirl across the stage. A young girl, awestruck, dances with her magical nutcracker prince. Toy soldiers battle fiercely with the evil Mouse King. Whatever would Christmas season be without the Nutcracker? Thanks to San Pedro City Ballet, Christmas 2020 is going to include a Nutcracker performance virtually. San Pedro City Ballet is a not-for-profit dance company with a dual mission: to create a world-class, pre-professional organization from the diverse population of the Los Angeles Harbor area, and to introduce Los Angeles area youth to dance through arts education in the schools and after-school programs. Cindy Bradley is the co-founder and artistic director of San Pedro City Ballet. Cindy, before we get to talking about what San Pedro City Ballet is doing for Christmas 2020, how did you first discover your passion for dance?
So I lived in Warner Robins, Georgia, and I felt like there was something inside me that needed to be expressed, and I watched dance on television, and it was in the 60s, and at that time, being from there, I didn't know that just anybody could dance. I thought that was only for movie stars and on television and movies, but I happened to find a little studio inside a woman's house down the street from us who taught ballet in her basement. And I took a class and discovered that was exactly what I had been looking for to express myself. I fell in love with it immediately. And from day one, I realized I wanted to teach because I wanted other people to find the same passion that I thought everyone would love it just like me.
What do you remember best from your own first Nutcracker that you danced?
I remember that it was challenging and it was fun, and it just became something you did every year. And it was always, as a dancer, you look forward to seeing what part you're going to do that year. And I moved around a lot as a kid, so I had many different experiences and many different Nutcrackers around the country.
What was your first Nutcracker role?
Oh, my goodness. That's a good question. I think by the time, it wasn't like today where everyone, there was a local school that did Nutcracker in every little town. It was, I trained at professional schools, big schools, so I probably didn't do a Nutcracker till I was maybe 12 or 13. And I remember doing the snowflake. I really didn't start out as a little kid in any of the Nutcrackers. I started out as one of the, like, apprentice company members.
Fast forward to today, 26 years with San Pedro City Ballet, doing a lot of very cool stuff, introducing other kids to ballet and the world of dance. Would you tell me the story of founding San Pedro City Ballet?
Well, I was teaching classes and directing a company that I had started at another school in Palos Verdes, California. And I really enjoyed putting on the production of the Nutcracker and working with the kids in that very affluent area. But I realized I wanted to introduce dance to kids who maybe didn't get that opportunity to have it in their lives, like I didn't in the beginning of my dance training. People who needed that exposure to even know that they might be interested and find a passion for it. So one year, my now husband came to dance in my production of The Nutcracker in Palos Verdes, and we fell in love, and we definitely had that common interest, and we got married and started our own school, and we came to San Pedro, California, and we started with 8 dancers who were in my previous company from Palos Verdes. But our mission always was to create a company from the diverse population of Los Angeles. And that's when I started teaching in the schools and at the Boys and Girls Club in Los Angeles to introduce the art form to kids to see if we could get students that way. And from the beginning, we had offered a scholarship program to those who couldn't afford it.
What was one of the most encouraging or creatively fulfilling moments from offering ballet instruction to the students who might not otherwise have known about it?
I think the very first student that I came across was at the Boys and Girls Club, and her name is Misty Copeland, and she has become a huge force in the ballet world and became the first African-American principal dancer of American Ballet Theater and is having a huge impact on the world of ballet.
What do you remember about teaching her?
Being struck by, it's always funny when I speak about this because it sounds so strange, but sitting on the floor and placing her foot and looking up at her, as soon as I touched her foot, I had a vision that just struck me. She was very tiny. She was around 65 pounds. She was 12 years old, very, very shy, and had not had any training. And I just felt like I needed to teach her because she was going to be incredible.
She certainly is an amazing dancer, an amazing woman.
Yeah.
And of course, life happens while we're making other plans. You had all kinds of everything going that was exciting with education, and then this pandemic hits. Tell me, please, about the way San Pedro City Ballet has been adapting to keep sharing your passion for dance.
When we had to shut down in March, of course, like everyone else, we didn't know it was going to be such a long situation. And it took us a couple of months, but we decided to take our classes online. Unfortunately, we were supposed to go into many schools. We do 18 elementary school sites every year. We do our program. So we had to stop that immediately, unfortunately, and all of our classes at the studio, and we were in rehearsal for a spring production, which was canceled. And we got a number of our students dancing online, but it was very difficult in the beginning for everyone. And we decided we needed to do more. So my husband, with some of the fathers, built an outdoor space. And now we're conducting classes there and online. And this will be the first year we can't do a live Nutcracker.
Let's give the link for where people can find out more about your outdoor space, and then we'll look at your Nutcracker. Where do people find out more?
We have 2 websites that are linked together. One is sanpedroballetschool.com, and the other is sanpedrocityballet.org. And you can find out about the Nutcracker at sanpedrocityballet.org or the classes at sanpedroballetschool.com.
And on the subject of the Nutcracker, you have what amounts to a special Christmas gift for the community this year. Would you tell me about that, please?
We are streaming our Nutcracker on December 12th at 5 p.m. on our website, sanpedrocityballet.org. And we are interviewing some of our former dancers, actually some of our original dancers who are part of our original 8 when we started the company in 1994. And my husband and I are going to introduce the show, and we just want to make it a little more special than just showing last year's production. We just want to bring it up to date a little bit and reach out and wish everyone wonderful holidays personally through the video.
This is going to be something special. Please take me behind the scenes and tell me what's involved when you put on a nutcracker that looks effortless. It can't possibly be effortless.
There are many, many hours that go into putting on the production. We start in September and we rehearse pretty much 5 days a week with the different groups, and the company dancers who do the bulk of the dancing rehearse all of their parts and go through many pairs of pointe shoes, and their parents and our other volunteers will be spread around the studio altering costumes, fitting costumes, working on new props. It just becomes a workshop for about 3 months or so, and the adults who are in the party scene, who are sometimes parents or people from the community, come in and rehearse, and it's just so much action. And then we work on all of the steps for a while, then we start to incorporate the props and all the little mice rehearse separately from the soldiers, and then they come together and rehearse toward the end, and all of the different elements of the party scene come together, and some of the rehearsals have up to 50 people in it by the end, and there are about 200 people in it total. And then we go to the theater, and we spend a week in the theater getting everything blocked on the stage, and then all of the lighting set and all of the decorations. Our guild decorates the theater and sets up the tables in the lobby for the merchandise and the Christmas cookies. And then the curtain opens, and we usually have about 1,000 people in the audience that we sell tickets to for every show. And then the rest of the seats are outreach tickets for people from the community who can't afford to buy a ticket, or organizations, nonprofits. And we have one performance in the morning on a Friday every year where 1,400 school children come from all over Los Angeles to the free performance. And that's the most special time. All of our favorites that morning.
You're giving me chills here because I remember some very magical performances like this when I was a kid. What was one of your absolute most magical moments from this Nutcracker performance in 2019?
Well, it's really funny because people ask me every year when they come to see the show, why do I look so calm? How can I look so calm? And I think there's so much that goes into it, and so many people involved, so many moving parts, that at the point that the curtain opens, it's out of my hands. And I just know that they're going to bring it. It's going to be fabulous. And this last year, I think, was all around just the most talent, I think, from everyone. I think there was just so much commitment and talent. And I can't pick out one special thing it's just sort of from the time the curtain opens until it closes. But I think because we've been around for so long, and now some of our dancers are parents themselves and they bring their children, and then their dance moms are now grandparents, and just bringing the community together, and it just makes it so special. It's kind of a reunion every year.
We've got tradition. We've got magic. What do you do to make it your own so that your Nutcracker is different than what I'll see anyplace else?
Well, I think there's a lot of charm in our Nutcracker that sometimes whenever dancers are too perfect or too, maybe some of the professional companies, the party scene might drag a little bit because it's just very, very polished. And not that ours isn't polished, but there's a lot of just very genuine charm. And our party scene just flies by because it's so entertaining. And we like to bring what each individual dancer can bring to the stage. So some of themselves, it doesn't have to be a cookie cutter look that it was by a professional company. We want it to be very, very individual, and because we don't we let everyone participate who wants to. So I think just the excitement of being able to do something like that comes through from each dancer, and the freedom to be themselves lends to the charm.
What are some of the lessons that you teach your performers, especially maybe the younger ones who haven't performed before, about creating magic on stage during the Nutcracker?
I think they feel very comfortable because they know the dance really well from the rehearsals, and they get really excited about it because they know that the costumes are coming, and like the mother ginger and the big skirt, and the little ones get to get under the skirt. That doesn't happen in the beginning, so each step becomes a more exciting step, and they get to do the parade, and it's just an entire few months leading up to this moment on stage, and they're just always ready for it. They're not crying off stage somewhere. They can't wait, and I think the excitement.
Of course, the important question is, how can people best support you as you go forward?
Yes. Well, it's definitely been a tough year, and we are welcoming donations through our website. We have a donate button on our website, and anyone who would like to help, every little bit helps.
This pandemic is going to end. We are going to get through this. What is your vision for the future of San Pedro City Ballet?
We would like to do more full-length ballets such as Coppelia and Swan Lake, more classical ballets. We've just recently become just a ballet school. We also offer some modern and contemporary. But since the pandemic, we have partnered with another school who teaches all of the other disciplines, jazz and tap and hip-hop, and they do competitions. So we are sharing our building with them. And that was because of the pandemic. I had that thought that a lot of other studios are not able to make it. So if we pull together, we can get through it together. So that afforded us the opportunity to concentrate more on classical work. So I'm very excited to do that in the future.
We talked briefly about people supporting you financially, which of course you will need, but are there any other needs going forward, like volunteers or anything, any ways people can support you online before we're all out of lockdown?
I don't know. I think it would be great for people to tune in and see the dancers, maybe letting us know that they saw the production. The link will remain up, spreading the word, because they did really great work last year, and they're heartbroken they won't be on the stage again, but I think just knowing that people see them dance, it would be fabulous.
You can bet that my husband and I will be watching that one with bells on and promoting it.
Yeah, wonderful.
You have said before that you love teaching, as the very best teachers always do. It sounds like you're still learning too. What would you consider one of the very best lessons you've learned about dance in this past year?
I think what I really got is that the kids that we teach really need it in their lives, and I know what it does for them emotionally and physically, and it was the first time that was kind of completely taken away from us all, and it was very difficult. And really, the appreciation that I have for their needs, I think, I really got it. I always knew what it meant to me, but I'm always wondering, you know, and they will really, it's been so hot and it's been smoky, and they're dancing in masks, and they'll just go through whatever it takes to be able to do dance. And that was, it just became really clear to me that it really is needed in their lives.
Cindy, thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for your interest in interviewing us.
You and I have been listening to Cindy Bradley, co-founder and artistic director of San Pedro City Ballet. Be sure to pass the word. San Pedro City Ballet is having their special virtual presentation of the Nutcracker on Saturday, December 12th, 5 p.m. Pacific Time at sanpedrocityballet.org. As Cindy mentioned, This is going to include special artist interviews with some of the original artists who danced the first San Pedro City Ballet Nutcracker, as well as the 2019 performance on site. And if you get a chance to after the performance, please consider sending San Pedro City Ballet a Christmas greeting and letting them know what you thought. They would really like to hear from you. And that concludes this edition of Noelophile. Thank you for listening, and may your Christmas season be sparkly, encouraging, and filled with magic.